colors emerge from the heart of China's culture and traditions in order to appear in another new play. And it's about to begin. The stage is as vast as the territory of China. The actors, in excess of 1,300,000,000, the inhabitants of this vast land. And the play, a vigorous collective effort to achieve power on the global scene.
Chinese culture has been an important factor behind our political development. The Chinese political system, from many people who are from Western societies' point of view, are very different. People from the West are constantly talking about Chinese political system being a hindrance to its economic development. Actually, I would argue that the current political system is a good mixture. It's a good system blending in modern elements and traditional Chinese value.
The sphere of political gestures in China's history has constantly witnessed the presence of a great many actors. They have painted their policies in fresh colors to suit the time. Policies that one way or the other had been derived from this country's historical traditions. Although the circumstances of China today are rooted in this land's ancient history, it has gone through a modernizing process, however, benefiting the political reforms. The country has been radically transformed over the past three decades, rendering a completely novel image in the international arena. The open door policy and political reforms constitute a fundamental revision, granting Chinese politicians a chance to play a fresh new game.
The current political system is actually built on the traditional culture. This way, the society, the economy are very much kind of supported by our political system. In other words, the political system runs very effectively in a Chinese context, mainly because of its traditional culture.
Dear Sparrow, I've spent many years in this country studying the Chinese culture and traditions. Many a time, I've thought about their religious beliefs as seen in temples. Other times, I've dealt with their visual arts, as in the Beijing Opera, which represents their culture. I visited both rural and urban communities in various locations, and I've spoken to a great many thinkers and men of knowledge. The result has been encouraging and substantial. It can be summarized in a nation's effort to survive multiple crises. Efforts that have been accompanied by ample political about faces and playing different roles, sometimes even contradictory ones. Perhaps the best approach to a better understanding of how the Chinese political apparatus works is viewing its present-day political circumstances in comparison to other countries. China's current politics seems rather complicated, making it harder to arrive at a coherent theory.
We say today's China, we also could have found some of very disputed interactions in the financial term, in the economic term. United States always just asked China to just raise the currency, and also China's, you know, the yuan, China's currency devalue is now a top concern because U.S. also want just to increase its economic influence over China on American oil, or we say in American terms. So now we have a very strong, you know, the negotiation, and then we also have a very, you know, daunting task force to negotiate with the U.S. on how China's economic interest also could be just properly addressed.
When the political reforms era started, along with it began another act of present-day China's remarkable performance. In this extraordinary show, the one-party political system governing the country presented its actors with the most daunting of challenges and opportunities. With Mao's death came the demise of the Communist Revolution cycle. The actors of China's executive scene, led by Deng Xiaoping, initiated a rejuvenation process. While opening the political doors of the country for foreign capital and Western policies, China was striving to resolve internal problems. China realized that instead of remaining fixated on security games and ideological differences, they would be better off embracing a new posture.
Strategically, the United States and China do not have a common enemy. They have some common problems they are faced with, like non-proliferation, like climate change, environmental degradation, diseases, and so on, energy. But they don't have a common enemy. But at the same time, they are not allies. They are not friendly, very friendly to each other politically, because they don't share the political system, the same political system, and they don't share the same value system either. So this is a relationship that combines many interests together in both countries, and the relationship is also complicated by international issues, like the issues involving North Korea on nuclear proliferation, and the relationship is also complicated by Taiwan.
As already known, the complex relationship between China and the Western world is defined on the basis of economic or political interests. An example of this notion can be seen in the case of Taiwan. After the termination of World War II and the rise to power of the Communist Party, led by Mao, the issue of Taiwan began with U.S. intervention. From that time onward, through its support for Taiwan, America has been able to keep it separate from mainland China. And this matter has brought all Chinese opposition together in one place, namely Taiwan. Following the open-door policy, negotiations took place between Chinese and U.S. officials. The outcome was preparations for Taiwan's reunion with mainland China. Following the warm relations between the two countries from 1997 through April 1999, Washington finally came to terms with Beijing's demands concerning Taiwan. Subsequent events, however, prove there would be delay.
Some Taiwanese are trying to get independence, and China would not allow that to happen. And the United States is supporting Taiwan to get more international space, although it is opposed to Taiwan independence. And in trade and other areas, there are some common interests, and there are some frictions or tensions.
Precisely when the U.S. was cooperating with China out of commercial interest, it was simultaneously strengthening Taiwan militarily to further pressure China. For instance, one can mention the plan for a missile defense shield. Based on this U.S. proposal to Japan, Taiwan too would fall within the scope of this security missile zone, so that while deploying anti-ballistic missiles on that island, America would be able to erect a defense shield against Chinese ballistic weaponry. Politicians in Beijing, of course, strongly reacted to this, although the cat-and-mouse game still persists. On the one side, there's ample tension between the two states, but on the other, there's extensive economic cooperation.
So far, I think that China always, facing a more complicated economic situation in the world. So we also have to just work on a new balance rather than just keep the balance between the growing West economic influence to China and China's own capability to maintain our own economic control. But now such a new balance is on how to just make China's free trade economy also going well, and also reduce the possibility of a trade protectionism from the West. So it's also another big challenge now, I think, that China is facing.
In 1997, the American government and the Chinese government declared that they wanted to establish a relationship based on common interest. And these two countries called the relationship as a building toward a constructive strategic partnership. But in reality, however, the two countries also had some problems. So definition is one thing, but the reality is another.
Where is reality hiding? A cursory look at the events that have unfolded in the past 30 years can tell a lot about various Western opportunism. The events of Tiananmen Square in 1989 are part of this picture. As it happens, the idea was to topple the Chinese government through widespread street riots and supplant it with a system predicated on Western policies. In so doing, the administration in Washington used different methods to exert more pressure on Beijing, only one of which was what happened in Tiananmen Square.
In the 1990s, there were many tensions and problems, including the Taiwan issue. For instance, the Clinton administration allowed Taiwanese leader Li Denghui to visit the United States. That resulted in some major friction between the two countries. And then we had the Belgrade bombing. What we call Belgrade bombing was the NATO bombing of China's embassy in Yugoslavia, or in Belgrade, the capital city. And that was stimulating a lot of discussions in China as to what kind of relationship we had with the United States. And then in 2001, we had another crisis called the EP-3 crisis. A U.S. military plane went to an area closer to China, and then the Chinese air fighter had a clash with the U.S. Fighter, and then we had another major crisis.